Welcome to Sound Doctrine. We are entering the closing weeks of our year-long survey of the major doctrines of the Bible, and in these 2 weeks, our attention turns to what theologians call the eternal state, that is, the new heavens and the new earth. The last 2 chapters of the Bible give us details concerning this, and we want to spend our last days together in this study looking at the details that are in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Now, in the previous broadcast, we surveyed and summed up the course of events from the present day on into the future, but before we actually study the new heavens and the new earth, we want to be clear about the fact that the present heavens and the present earth disappear. This is what we read at the end of Revelation chapter 20, that the heavens and the earth fled away, no place was found for them. But 2 Peter chapter 3 gives us more detail concerning this. So we want to take a look at this important chapter in the scriptures before we look at the new heavens and the new earth that replace the present heavens and earth. So we invite you to follow in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you can do that, while you listen to the broadcast. This is the way that it would be most profitable to you. And we also want to invite you to pause with us for a moment of prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one listening to the broadcast today. May Christ be glorified in this study, and may your Spirit guide us to rightly divide the word of truth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the second chapter of 2 Peter warns us that there will be false teachers that will arise. Peter tells his readers that in the ages past there were false prophets, and certainly even in the days of the early church there were false prophets, but there will be false teachers arise, and he gives an extended description of the false teachers. One of the things that I've pointed out in previous studies is he does not say there will be false prophets, he says there will be false teachers. And the reason is because there will not be any more prophets following the apostolic age, as there are no more apostles. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he is the last of the apostles. And so the point here is that anyone today who claims to be an apostle or a prophet is ipso facto a false apostle or a false prophet. But there will be false teachers, and he warns about those. And then, pursuing this in chapter 3, he says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers or scoffers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" Now, there's a question which really is a rhetorical question. The question implies Christ isn't coming back. Where is the promise of his coming? How come it hasn't been fulfilled? He's really not coming back. And they base this on the assumption that everything has continued from the beginning just as it is. In other words, this is an evolutionary and uniformitarian view of world history and earth history. Small wonder that this is the issue in our own day. "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which," that is, through water, "the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." So here, verses 5 and 6 indicate to us. He answers the assertion that all things continue as they have from the beginning. God has never intervened in world history. He says, you're wrong. You are willingly or willfully ignorant of the fact that the flood was God's intervention in world history in ages past. And you are also willfully ignorant of the fact of creation as opposed to evolution. Notice verse 5 says the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So the present heavens and earth, not just the earth, but the heavens and the earth, verse 7 says, will be destroyed by fire. And this is what he's going to go on to tell us in just a moment. But first, he deals with the question, where is the promise of his coming? How come Christ has not returned already? It's been 2,000 years now. He's not coming back. Well, he is coming back. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And again, let me deal with an issue here concerning this, because there have been those who have developed dating schemes based on the concept that 1,000 years and a day are similar, and so they come up with so many thousand years and all sorts of foolish and false teachings concerning this. This is a simile. If we had studied our English grammar a little better when we were in junior high school, we would recognize this. He doesn't say one day is 1,000 years or 1,000 years is a day. He says as. That's a simile. It's like that. And all that is being taught in verse 8 is that while you and I are bound by time, God is not. God's program and scheme and plan of the ages is not forced by time. You and I are creatures of time and therefore have to get things done in a particular time or we won't get them done. God is not bound by time. With him, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the reason that the Lord has delayed his return is so that more will be saved. What a glorious Savior we have. He wants more. He wants the opportunity, the door, or people like to use the phrase, the window of opportunity, to stay open the longer so that more will be saved. But, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now, there are some who take the view that when this event occurs, all that is meant is that the present heavens and the earth will be cleansed by fire, but they will remain. Now, let me read it again. You judge for yourself if language indicates anything here. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. As one wag has put it, the Big Bang is not over. It hasn't happened yet. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now, does that mean they are consumed, or does it mean they're just cleansed, they're just burned over? Well, it sounds to me like they are destroyed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, again, if language means anything, this is saying that the heavens as well as the earth will vanish in a roaring furnace of God's fire. Now, you can argue if you wish, but that's how I understand this text. Let me give you an illustration. We read that we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth, and that'll be the subject of our remaining studies. If you were buying an automobile and you wanted a new car, and the salesman brought out a car that was several years old, but it had a fresh coat of paint on it, would you consider that to be a new car? Or would you consider it to be a used car with a fresh coat of paint? Well, you know what you would consider it. That is not what would be understood to be a new car. It is an old car, a used car that has been refurbished with some paint. A new car is one that has never been driven before, never used before. So when God says a new heavens and a new earth, I believe he means completely new, not just a refurbished present earth. I know there are good people who disagree with me on this. That's all right. We can agree and be friends and go on together as brethren in Christ. But this language says to me, a new heavens and a new earth, not the old one made over. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. I want to pause here. Do you see the present importance of prophetic themes? We're talking about future things, whether we can agree on the details or not. We're talking about future things, and the Apostle Peter says that in light of these future things, we ought to be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Well, we live in a day when people distort, twist the scriptures to mean what they want them to mean, rather than taking them in their plain and natural sense. And by the way, don't think this is limited to the groups that we call cults. Major denominations are involved in this scripture twisting as well, because they have their own agenda that they want to push. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. Not fall from your salvation, but fall from your steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we want to do, isn't it? Whether it be the study of prophecy, and that's an important study, but there's more to the Bible than prophecy. It's all interconnected, it's all related, but there is more than future things or prophetic studies. So don't, by all means, let's study these details, because God gave them to us so that we would know what was coming. But there are other things to study as well. Let's study the perfections of God and the truth of the Christian life, many other things as well. But grow in the grace and knowledge. To him be the glory from now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thanks for listening to Sound Doctrine today. Now, if you would like to communicate with us, let me invite you to our website, sound-doctrine.org. Click on Ask the Pastor, and you can submit your question or give me your comment.